Or if you can turn your Bible apps or your Bible to Acts chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of their persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barbados to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. So this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it with elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Let's say our scriptural declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Paul, and everyone. I have a couple of realizations that I want to let you know that I am very clear about. One of them is of the time. And one of them is that I'm not the main event today. I know the main event is out there on the tables and waiting for us, okay? So I'm going to move this quick. But I do want to just share some things with you because ultimately, we are not just simply here to celebrate and worship the diversity that has been unified under the cause of Christ. We're here to celebrate the church of Jesus Christ, and we're here to celebrate Jesus who brought it into being and brought it out of all the different nations, bringing them in together and becoming one in Christ Jesus, as we have said. Today, we're going to talk about the kingdom in our world, and if you'd like to keep your Bibles open to Acts 11, I am going to be referring to that in just a few moments, but there will be some things on the screen. So we're going to talk about the book of Acts. But before I do, let me just share some of this with you. I want to share with you, when we go out there, you are not going to find a place to sit. And the reason that that is because we want you to mingle. So what happened on our first idea of having an International Sunday? Here's what ended up happening. One person would go and get one type of food, and then they would go and find a seat, but we had put out tables, and then they would sit with the same folks that they've always sat with, eat the same food that they already knew that they liked, and really never get around and get something brand new or meet somebody brand new or learn a little bit of something that was new. So my wife, and yes, if you've been around here long enough, another realization I have come to a long, long, long time ago is every good and perfect gift comes from my wife right around here. That's how that goes. She's the real brains of this operation. I'm just kind of here. But she said, we're going to do it different next year. I was like, what are you talking about? She said, here's what we're going to do next year. Next year, we're not giving out big, full plates. We're giving out little bitty dessert plates. I was like, why? She said, so everybody tries something from all the different places. I was like, wow, you're a genius. Bad taste in men, but a genius, okay? So then she said, and also, by the way, we're going to put away the tables and chairs. So everybody kind of walks around like it's a reception, but you get to try someplace new. You get to meet somebody new. And listen, if you're physically needing a chair, we will get you a chair. That's not the point. But we want you to get around and shake hands, meet new people, try new foods, just have an experience that's going to be unlike every other one. I'm excited because there are brand new places for me to try the food from this year that I've never tried before. And I'm excited about that. So I don't want to keep us too much longer before we get to that fun part. But just understand, we're going to have a great time. And even if you came today not expecting to stay, please stay. It'll be even better if you're here. It'll be a better time if you're a part of it. So we would love for you to stay. Let's talk about Acts very quickly, the hinge of Christian history. If you look at the book of Acts, you can see how it begins and how it ends and how they're very different. It's like a hinge that, you know, one door closes and another opens. And if you look here, the book of Acts begins with Jesus here on earth. The book of Acts ends with Jesus residing in heaven. The book of Acts begins with an emphasis on Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. The book of Acts ends as the Bible tells us that we are going out with the Apostle Paul and others that are sharing the gospel literally to the ends of the earth. And this is no surprise. This was kind of given almost as a second great commission, if you will, from Jesus, from the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It says, so when they had come together, they asked him, that's the disciples asking him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And then what's that last phrase there? And to the ends of the earth. And so for this, we see here that Jesus was speaking to them and saying, I don't want you to just simply stay in Jerusalem. I want you to go out and tell everyone that you meet and go to the very ends of the earth to share the gospel. And then as we go on, and he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes. These are angels. And he said, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In other words, we as Christians believe that one day there will be a day where God says, enough and no more, and he will be the end of the world. It's not going to be somebody with a finger on a nuclear button that ends our world. It will be Jesus who returns to make all things new and all things right in our world. And so we know that this is what the Bible teaches us about Jesus. And it's very interesting if you look at this, because he says basically to them, hey guys, why y'all still here? I mean, New Texas Version, right? New Texas Version. Hey guys, why y'all still here? He did say y'all in the New Texas Version. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven is going to come the same way you saw him go. And he did not give us a specific time. He did not give us a year or a date. And it has been now thousands of years. But he wants us on that edge of interest and engagement, not knowing when the Lord will come back. So we will always be prepared and ready and constantly sharing until the time when God says himself, enough, and this is the end, and this is where heaven begins. So as you look at the hinge of Christian history again, you see that it began as a Jewish focus and became a Gentile focus. It became with Peter, the Apostle Peter, spotlighted, and then it ends with Paul being spotlighted. Everything changes over the years of the book of Acts, and we are now living in what is called the church age. And as we live it, we don't know when the Lord will come back, but we know that he has promised to come back and set all things right and make all things new. So here we see this, something to learn. Before Acts 10, the group of Christ followers were made up only of Jews from Israel and Jews from living other nations, still keeping the law. They were satisfied to keep the Christian religion as Jewish, but God was not satisfied with that. And for most of you, if you're like me, I can say amen to that. Can y'all say amen? I mean, because we know Jesus as Savior of the world, not just simply Savior of the Jews. And so as we see this, In Acts chapter 10, God sends Peter to a man named Cornelius, a man that Peter thought that God saw as ritually unclean. In Acts chapter 10, he sees this vision of a sheet being let down and things that he calls unclean. And God says, whatever God has called clean, don't you dare call unclean. And so God pours out the Holy Spirit upon him and upon his hearers as before. And in a beautiful way, God was there when Peter preached his first sermon in Acts chapter 2 and saw the Holy Spirit descend in Pentecost. And he sees it happen again, but instead of it just being Jews, it's also Gentiles. And now here's where I need to slow down and just make sure that you don't miss it. Just understand what that means is that Christ is truly the Savior of the entire world, not just simply one nation. Amen? And so if that is true, your nation, my nation, our nation, all, we have an opportunity to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God, and in the midst of it all, we have an opportunity to have a relationship with the God of the universe who came so that you and I, no matter who we were, where we were from, what we've been through, or what we've faced, we would know him and know him as personal Savior. So, amen. Hey, give me a hand. That sounds great. Not because of me, but because of what I just shared with you, which is so true. It is truly about the Lord and what he has done. So where have we been before chapter 11? You can see all of these different things. But I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2. And then Acts 3, not mentioned. 4, 5, not mentioned. 6, where are the disciples still? Still in Jerusalem. He wants them to go outward, and they're satisfied to stay right where they are. I'm going to say that one more time. He wants them to go out and share the gospel, but they are satisfied to stay comfortable right where they are. But then the stoning of Stephen happens. He is the first martyr. And when he is killed, there's a man standing there as the outer garments are being tossed and the clothes are piling up at the foot of a man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus, who eventually in chapter 9 meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. Saul becomes Paul, and he has now, the persecutor of the church has now become the best missionary in all of Christian history. And then in Acts 10, the Gentiles come to Jesus, become a part of the church. Do you see how all of this fits with International Sunday? Wherever we are from, we are gathered under God's banner and under his decision to bring us in as members of God's family. And Damascus Road, a murderer because of Jesus Christ, becomes a missionary for Jesus Christ, and everything begins to change. Now, let me just share with you very quickly something that I want to make sure that you hear. Here, the Bible tells us in Antioch, and this is what Paul read just a few moments ago. The Bible tells us there in Antioch was where the believers were first called Christians. And I found this particular thing here. I just want to share this with you. The diverse church in Antioch teaches us something today from the Gospel Coalition article. Here's what it says. Presumably, at least in part, the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch because they were difficult to categorize. In a place and in a city where people kept to themselves, here was a new group that didn't keep to themselves. Do you understand what he's saying here? In other words, in Antioch, they had literally walled off part of the city to separate different races and different people of different beliefs and different languages. They had erected a wall and said, you stay there and you stay there. But God instead said, I'm going to break down the wall of hostility between all those people who want to cling to and claim something else. And I'm going to bring you together. I'm going to build a bridge between nations, people, languages, and all of these things. And so they had such a hard time categorizing them that they just had to call them Christians. They couldn't say, oh, those Jewish believers in Jesus or those folks that were from the other part of the world in Greece or those Syrians or whatever. Syria is where that particular city was in that nation of Syria. So they couldn't categorize them because there were too many different ones to be categorized by just simply one group. Do you see what I'm saying? So what God's word is telling us here is they began to call them by a brand new name, the name Christian, the name of Christ. And what that actually meant was it was almost a slanderous term. It was a term of derision. It was like calling them, oh, y'all are just a bunch of little Jesuses running around, right? And I don't know about y'all, but if somebody says I remind them of Jesus, that is not, I wear that pretty proudly. I don't know. I'm good with that. They thought they were insulting them. They said, we will take it. You don't know Jesus like we do. If you say anything about us reminds you of Jesus, we are good with it. And so as we see here, our diversity as well as their behavior for Christ is the thing that began to define them. So very quickly, this big idea is that the kingdom is bigger than you can imagine, but your part still fits in your palm of your hand. In other words, here's what I mean. The kingdom is much grander, much larger, bigger than you can wrap your head around. But here is the thing. For many of us, we think about the kingdom, and yes, it is grand. Yes, it is literally worldwide. It includes people of races and nations that you've never even laid eyes on. You've never even heard their language spoke. And they are a part of the kingdom of God. Praise God. But here is the thing. If you think that it's so grand and so large, you may not realize that you and I are still called to play a role and a part in it. In other words, it is grand and large, but it is in bite-sized chunks for you and me to grab a hold of. It can be held in our hands where we don't have to say, I need to go change the world. We can instead say, I need to change my family. We don't have to say, I need to go and love someone all the way across the globe. But we can say, I need to love my neighbor, right? And every single one of us has a neighbor. And every single person in the world has a neighbor. And so when Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, he is bringing the kingdom down where it's easy enough for you and I to say, I might not be able to go and tell somebody in Uzbekistan about Jesus Christ, but here's what I can do. I can love my neighbor who lives right next door to me, and yet I still don't even know their name, even though they lived there for 10 years. I knew I wasn't going to get an amen on that, right? But you know what I'm saying. Because ultimately, the kingdom is huge, but it is not so big that you can't play a role in it. When he says to you and me that we are to be salt and light, that doesn't mean that we have to go and be the light of the world all the way around the world. It means that we need to let our light so shine before men where we are that they know that there's something to this, that we show people that just like whenever they first started saying, you're just like little Jesuses running around, that is exactly what we want to be characterized. Can I get an amen? All right, so let's very quickly, oh, you know what? I always have you guys read this out loud. So here we go. On the count of three, y'all read this aloud with me. Ready? One, two, three. The kingdom is bigger than you can imagine, but your part still fits in your hands. Amen. All right, very quickly, just notice this. In this passage of scripture, I'm not going to read it all, but do you notice here that Stephen, that persecution began to spread people out, and as they went, they were walking, and they were just simply talking to the people that they were comfortable talking to, people who look like them, sound like them, believe like them, and acted like them. But instead, there were some others who came to Antioch, this multicultural city. They spoke to the Hellenists also. They said, we might not really even speak the same first language, but can I share with you about Jesus? And as they told them about Jesus, they became followers of Jesus. And suddenly, the kingdom didn't just look like people that were from Jerusalem or people that were descendants from people who had lived in Jerusalem. Instead, they became people who were following Christ. The hands that they could keep Jesus' words in were right there, and they were sharing it with their neighbor. And notice, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Notice these men shared the good news, the gospel. And notice that they don't seem to be having a really hard time persuading and pulling these people in. All they needed was an opportunity. And nobody was giving them an opportunity until these men decided, I will say something. I will speak up. Can I tell you guys something? You may not believe this. You may not agree with this. But for most people who have not ever made a decision for Christ, most of the time, they don't necessarily have a great aversion to it. They just never have been told about it or invited to participate in being a part of God's family. That's what most people say. In our world today, it's not hard to believe because there are a lot of people that never really grow up knowing the Lord. So here I see these men that are heroic and stepping across lines and boundaries to bring people into the kingdom of God. Now, very quickly, notice this. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, kind of at the end of that section, they heard that there were people that were not Jewish that were coming into the church. And so they found a really good Jewish guy named Barnabas, and they said, hey, go see if this is legit or not, okay? And he went and he checked it all out, and notice this, I do want to share this. And when he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. In other words, Barnabas came and checked that out, and he said, no doubt about it, this is legit. These people who were once not a part of God's family, I can see it. I believe it with my whole heart. They are now a part of God's family. It's a beautiful thing. And so as they do see this, they begin to change and they begin to congregate together, learn together, and become the people who form the core of the Antioch church. And I'm going to just say this very quickly, and I'm moving very quickly here. The church at Antioch had an upward focus, an inward focus, and an outward focus. I'm going to hit these, boom, boom, boom. Here we go. Don't miss it. When we overemphasize any one part of the Christian life, we easily become unbalanced and unhealthy. In other words, if you think, like many in 2025 do today, that the only thing that I need to do is I just need to say, oh, God is great and I believe in God, and never really get concerned about what God is concerned about, I never really grow in my faith, then we have a great upward focus, but nothing going on the inward focus, and nothing at all looking like Christ for that outward focus. And so it's so incredibly hard for us to be balanced and healthy Christians if we only focus on one and don't look for more. I don't know if you guys can imagine this, but if I were a stool, okay, all right, just follow me, just don't even try to figure it out, but if I'm a stool and you need to knock me over, now's easier than here, right? And if I have a third back here on this, the three-legged stool that you've often seen, it's even harder and harder to turn over something like that because the balance comes with more, you know, points of contact. And so the more we are like Christ and have the upward focus, the inward focus, and the outward focus, it changes us. All right, very quickly, the upward focus is that focus as we connect with God. The second is the inward focus. The Bible says that for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. In verse 26, it says that people were being changed and lives were being changed and transformed because of the learning that they were doing as they kept getting more and more into the scriptures. And then the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. In other words, their heart was broken for brothers and sisters that they had never met, because they heard that there were people in Jerusalem that were dying because of a famine. Remember the Joseph story of the famine? This is a different one, but it happened again in Jerusalem. And these people who had never met them, who were just newly converted to Christ, became concerned for them because they knew that they were Christian brothers and sisters who had a need. And can I just say something to you? If you are always a consumer and never a contributor, then probably your outward focus has not, or has shown you that you have not begun to see others as Christ sees them. And that ripples out in a lot of different ways. But if we don't see others as Christ sees them, we will never be perfectly like Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? And so that means that we love our neighbor, not label our neighbor, all right? So very quickly, here's some big questions. Are you balancing the upward, inward, and outward focus of life for Christ? And which one is the weakest in your life? And then secondly, has the grand size of the kingdom work become so big for you that you're not working on the part that actually fits in your hands? Because here's what I know. In your life and in mine, the part that fits in our hands is what we are actually responsible for. So I would share with you that ultimately, we love the idea of a great and grand kingdom, But if you are not participating and being a blessing in the kingdom where you are, then we are missing out on part of God's kingdom being changing and life-changing for you and for those around you. Very quickly, here's how you apply this message. Identify where you are tending towards being unbalanced. Is it the upward? Is it the inward? Is it the outward focus? What is suffering the most for you when it comes to your life with Christ? And then secondly, take action this week and tell someone so they can hold you accountable. Draw close to Christ. You can join this family if you don't have one. We'd love to have you. You can raise your hand and ask for someone to disciple you. You can share your faith and you can build bridges. All of these things are true. These are ways that you can put the kingdom of God in your hands, no matter how large and life-changing and world-impacting it becomes. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to see as you see. Help our eyes to be like your eyes. Help your values to be something that changes ours. And Lord, I just pray that in each and every one of us, we become more and more like you. May our connection to you upward be strong. May our inward focus keep us from being stagnant in our faith. And may our outward focus be something that helps you as you continue to change the world, as we build bridges to those around us. Lord, make us a life-changing and a world-changing place here in this place on a small scale. Lord, may we be faithful and we'll trust you for the rest. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. And we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, and everybody together said, amen. Hasn't it been good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for your time and for your attention. And do small plates need a prayer? If they do, here we go. Lord, just bless the great food we're about to have together. And most importantly, bless the fellowship as we share time. And may your spirit be over it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And guys, thanks so much. God bless you. Please come back and see us. Don't forget, if you're here for the first or second time, see Miss Roseanne or Miss Alicia. We'll point you in that direction if you don't know. And hopefully you guys will jump in here and say it real loud because it's International Sunday. Don't forget to stay and be a part of our food time together. And we're going to end right now today the way we always do. And you can say it right along with me. We've just heard God's word. Now let's go live it. God bless y'all. Love you, church family.